Jema. This is an aphorism of Sri Aurobindo. This is something which mother has said in response to an aphorism. It is about a converted asura is much more helpful than an innocent angel. It's not exact word, but you can find the exact word in thoughts and aphorisms. So sometimes it raises questions that how can a converted asura be more useful than an innocent angel. So first some examples from history. And the classic history is that imagine Sri Rama without Vibhishan. Nobody talks about it. Vibhishan gave the secret of Meghnad Vadh and Vibhishan gave the secret of Ravan Vadh. If Vibhishan was not there, these two were the main warriors. So, what is the logic behind it is, so we have a story of Jai Vijay, who are the Asuras, they are Jai Vijay, who became arrogant because they were near to God. So when you are near to the divine, you have to be very careful. You have to be more humble. And in their arrogance and in their, well, a kind of goodwill, you are serving the divine Lord. So out of that, they told Sanat Kumar, no, right now Vishnu Bhagavan is sleeping. You cannot enter. And nobody refused them like that. So he said, no, you are not allowed to go. We are the ones who will let you go or not let you go. So they got, so Sanat Kumar, it is said that they cursed him. Shrap diya. You go, you have behaved like an asur, you go to earth and suffer the asur tattva. So that's how it came, the whole idea of asur. So when they are there on earth, so they ask, when Lord Vishnu comes to know, so he asks them that, he tells him, once you had misbehaved even with Goddess Lakshmi, you had asked her credentials, you are basically denying the creating a difference between the divine and his consort. So, but Lakshmi is forgiving. But one day you have to meet this fate. So what do you want? You have 7 lives to come back, or you can come back in 3 lives. So they chose 3 lives. So in 3 lives, you can come back only if you oppose God. So look at the interesting part. Why? Because then God comes and takes you back. You have annulled yourself, basically. It's not a very good, because you had an opportunity. When you come to earth, you have an opportunity to rise higher. That's the story of Bhishma, that as a Vasu, he came to earth. He was cursed. All the 8 Vasus were cursed. But the 7 Vasus were released by Ganga and they went back very soon. That's the story. We have already spoken about it. All the 7, every time she had a child, she drowned the child in the Ganga. And they just had a sort of technical birth. And then they went back. But she had told King Dushyant, you will not ask, not Dushyant, who was her husband, Shantanu. You will not ask me any questions. That's how she was married to him. So he couldn't bear it because he said, she's just taking the baby, drowning in the Ganges. So he asked her question that, look here, I cannot resist myself. So she had said, if you ask me the question, I'll reply and then I'll go back. So she replies that, well, they are cursed beings, I had come to redeem them. But he has asked the question. So now she leaves this baby and she vanishes. This baby becomes Bhishma. So he has to suffer a lot because he was the one who was supposed to be the ringleader of those who had done whatever mischief when they were beings in the subtle worlds or the mid worlds. So when he goes back, so he wants to go back to his world, which is mid world, Vasus. But he is told, no, now you have to go to a higher world. Why? Because you have borne the full suffering that earthly life entails. So always there are 2 approaches. One is shortcut and the other is long journey. Long journey is about the full blossoming. So they are also given a choice. After three births, you will come back. If you have enmity with the divine, ultimately you have to come back. Or you will take seven lives when there will be a blossoming of devatva out of you. You start your life as an asur, but there is a blossoming of devatva. It's a very profound story. So in all of us, it is somewhat like that we start our career as asura. Man is an asura by birth. That's how Sri Aurobindo says. And by turning toward the divine, he gets converted into a god. And then his journey begins. It's a long journey, whatever. So, seven lives for the devatvas. Devatva is like once you have come to earth, anyways you have come. So, you take the advantage of the full. Because earth contains all the elements. Everywhere else, they are typal worlds. So, that is how earthly life becomes a field for progress from the asura to devatva. So, converted asura is who? Converted asura has accepted that I will go through this process. Now, out of me, you bring out the better part. What about innocent angel? So, there are beings who are very nice beings, but they have not gone through this evolutionary process. They are good beings. They are like fairies, they are even gods. But to go through a conversion of the asura is possible only for the earth. After earth, you have to go through that long journey. So asuras or the gods don't want to be born on earth, because obviously asuras are enjoying in their whatever splendor, their darkness. Darkness carries its own enjoyment. You know, there are people who drink and whatever, they destroy their life. It's their business. The moment you enter into the field of earth, you are on an evolutionary path. So if there is an asur who wants redemption, that is what is meant by the original sin and redemption by the grace in Christianity. So you have to take a human birth. Now when you are taking a human birth, early births, you will be an asura. You will be a vital man. You will be a physical man. That's the whole thing about the four varnas which is coming up. So in the beginning, the human soul is very small. It has to evolve. So it starts its career as a physical and vital man, which is what actually originally the Shudra and Vaishya is about. So it's an inferior birth. That's what it meant, that it's early human birth. So you are thinking about your prophets, you are thinking about, you know, for Shudra, for example, there were only two, now I'm combining the two. For Shudras, there were only two restrictions. Otherwise, they could drink, they could have many marriages, they could do anything they wanted, basically. If you read Manusmriti, I have read long back, so, but roughly I remember there were only two restrictions for Shudras. That's all. They have to do their work well. That was one of the things. You can't just do your work slipshod and casually. You have to do. Like if you have 4 hours of work, you better do it well. That's all that is expected of a Shudra. And one more something. You have to treat the others who are greater than you in terms of merit and capacity. You have to treat them with respect. So there are only two things marked for Shudras. Everything else they can do. And then this soul through birth rises through an evolutionary ladder. So there's some about 18 for Vaishyas where you begin to expand your consciousness, your trading, you go from one place to another, production, engagement with sharing. Then comes the Kshatriya, just carving the evolutionary cycle of man. So when it comes to Kshatriya, that's when you have a radical choice whether you want to be a full-blown asura. Vaishya and Shudra are not regarded as, they are general category. They are neither asur type nor they are deva type. They are just doing their work. But the moment you become a Kshatriya, your rajas has become very strong. So tamoguni Shudra, so it is understood that their life will be eat, drink, be merry, and it's okay, it's understood. Even now if you go to many of the tribal areas, you will see this. They will drink, they will tadi, and their life will be like that. They don't regard it as something bad or evil. You know, women, all this is part of their life. And nobody regards it as evil, actually. It's socially accepted norm. And then with a Vaishya, you start certain kind of rules and regulations. So that's when Rajas is beginning to get trained. When you are Kshatriya, Rajas is at its full swing. That's when there is the demarcation towards the full-blown asura. Or the asuric element suddenly takes a... You'll start with the asura. All kshatriyas begin with that strong ego element. All the things, pride, ego, I don't accept any subordination. That's the kshatriya impulse. So it can either go into full-blown asura or it can take to a conversion towards the brahmanatva. Knowledge. If it accepts conversion, then it becomes a rajo-sattvic gun. So conversion of the asura basically implies that the rajo-gun pradhan, that changes into a sattva-gun. That's why you'll see sattva-gun primarily is gods are supposed to have sattva-gun. By gods I mean godlike beings. So this is the journey. So if an asura, at somebody is in a rajo-gun plane, and one of the asura who is a typal being in one of the worlds takes incarnation with the idea of conversion. Now he is a strong, because asura represent force, strength. This is the first thing which manifests. Now why this about force first and knowledge later? In the life divine, this is explained very beautifully. So consciousness has force in it. But when it enters into matter, it has plunged and it has gone asleep. So what awakens first? It is force. It shakes that inertia, that inconscient. So because of that intense energy shaking up, it is force which comes. It has to dissociate from consciousness, because the two together cannot work. There is no consciousness cannot awaken in atom, but it goes into the background and force awakens. So for a long time you will see the play of force in creation. There is no consciousness, self-awareness. It comes only with human beings. Self-awareness. With self-awareness comes the need for or tendency towards self-rectification. Self-rectification, the need for self-progress, self-evolution. All this comes much later. It is force which is working, and as the force is working, that is what is the Shakti which is returning. Slowly consciousness is emerging, but consciousness is behind. And that's why in the life divine, Shrivindra says that evil is not really the way we understand that there is fundamental evil. It's because it's the nature of evolution that it creates evil. So when force comes very strong and consciousness is not there, self-knowledge is not there, then this force is a tendency to just, be driven like Kali. That's why Kali is worshipped by, Shiva is worshipped by all, Tamogun Pradhan Shiva and Kali. They're worshipped by all these Rakshasas, Asuras. Not that Shiva has anything to Shiva. He's a great god, but that's how Kali. Kali is worshipped by many of these dark beings because she gives force. That's what they want. They want, they are worshippers of force. But the day they get converted, because consciousness is fine, but consciousness without force is like Jnani. He's a drishta. He cannot do anything. There are plenty of people who can give very nice lectures, who can talk on Vedanta. But how many can really effectuate? They're not effective. See, that's why always you have the combination of Guru, Samarth Guru, Ramdas and Shivaji. Because it's rare. In Sikh religion you find first time a combination of Jnana and the Kshatriya element, which is very beautiful. That's why Shivindu says it was first attempt to create a spiritualized society. But see why it fell. Because the Kshatriya elements got so much prominence. Now the knowledge has gone into the background. So invariably with any human being you will see that as knowledge develops, the force element is subordinated, because that's the condition. But to combine the two, if an asura gets converted, then when he embodies knowledge and he can have a beautiful combination of the knowledge and the force, he becomes a wonderful instrument of the divine. It's very rare. In the ashram context, you will see some of the people who really, really worked. I won't take names, but there are departments which have all come up thanks to one person. And how mother caught him. He said, "Who is this fellow who is offering drinks to all my children?" And when he got converted, all this, you see, Harpa gone, tennis ground, all this, Golkon, He is the one who has been involved in that. So, because a converted Asura becomes a very powerful instrument of the divine work, because he has force and consciousness. Whereas only the godlike angel is only knowledge is developing, consciousness is developing, but the force is not there. So that's why it's important to have both. So you will see the divine needs. He also seeks this kind of beings, because without them, the work really cannot go. There will be people who are meditating monks. They will realize big things, but they will not be useful for the work. So that's the basic thing behind converted Asura. Innocent angels are those who do not know force. When you have force, you will have misuse of force. When you are only have consciousness, first it becomes a witness. Consciousness is equal to knowledge. That's it. Force is the executing power. It's like Shiva without Shakti is Shava. That's how one of the Tantra says. Shiva without Shakti is Shava. So you have to bring that force. So if you start in Asura, when he surrenders to the divine, he becomes a very powerful instrument. In that sense. Okay, so I think...